All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn again to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. You know, I have been preaching for 40 years, pastoring for 40 years now. And that means 40 Christmases have come and gone. I don't know how many times I have preached at Christmas time from Luke chapter 2, but a lot. But it is amazing how you can never exhaust the Word of God. No matter, you could try and you would not be able to exhaust the Word of God. And I heard about a preacher that every Sunday he preached on "Marvel Not That I Say Unto You, You Must Be Born Again." And after about 3 years, the deacons got together and they said, "Pastor, every Sunday, it's the same text. You must be born again." He said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, why in the world? There's a whole Bible there. And why in the world do you preach every Sunday from the same verse?" Now, granted, all the sermons are different, but every Sunday, it's the same text. You must be born again. And he stood and he said, "Well, gentlemen," he said, "here's the reason. Because you must be born again." Amen. All right. So that's why we preach from Luke 2 every year at Christmas a number of times, because it tells the Christmas story and you can never exhaust it. So let me start reading in verse 8, and you follow along as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. But Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." An amazing story. These shepherds are immortalized in this passage of Scripture and have been preached from so many, many times. Every year at Christmas. And I want to preach on them again this morning. But I want to take just a little different spin and a little different angle on the story this morning. When you turn to your Bible, you start reading your Bible, you get to the Gospel of Luke, and you read, and let's say you read the Bible like you read a textbook. You start in Matthew with the New Testament, and you read Matthew, and you realize that the Savior was born, and it's described in Matthew. But then you start reading about his ministry, and then his death, and his burial, and his resurrection. So in Matthew, you know that the birth is not the end. You know that the birth, as miraculous as it was, and as amazing as it was, you know that the birth was not an end to a means. It was a means to an end. We're going towards something greater. It does not just, the birth is not all there is. There's more that's coming. And so you get to Luke, and there's the story of the birth again. And you're amazed by it. And you read the story here of these angels, and they go to the city of Bethlehem, and just up the ridge from where they were watching their flocks at night. And they are just amazed at what the angels had to say. And they go up and they find the child. They find the Savior. But you know, you're at the beginning of Luke, and you know that that's not the end of the story, don't you? You've already read Matthew. You know there's more. So you keep reading, and sure enough, you find the whole story again detailed for you in the Gospel of Luke. And what I want you to notice this morning are parallels. There are some parallels that you can find between the birth of our Savior and the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. There are some similarities. There are some things that are alike with the birth that are found in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And I want us to think about the parallels between the birth and the resurrection this morning. Let's pray. Father, help us now. I pray Your Holy Spirit to open our understanding. And I just pray that we will see and understand these beautiful pictures and parallels between the birth of Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So, Father, fill me with Your Spirit and help me this morning. Give us wisdom, give us discernment, and help us to see the truths that are before us this morning. I pray that you'll speak to hearts this morning and draw each one of us into a closer walk of fellowship with You. If someone is not saved, may today be the day they realize that they need the Lord as their Savior. Bless us now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read Matthew, which tells us the Christmas story, and then Luke, which tells us the Christmas story, you realize some things about our Lord. It does not end with just His birth. You know, it's not just enough that the Savior came. You read the Old Testament scriptures and you know that there had to be the shedding of blood. You know that there had to be a sacrifice. You know that there had to be atonement made for sin. And so you read the story of the birth. And then you keep reading and you keep reading until you get to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And now we know that the Lord Jesus was born in a perfect birth, and then He lived a perfect life, and then He died a perfect death, and then He was raised in a perfect resurrection. And you know that all of this was done so that He could provide for us a perfect salvation. That's what all this is about. And when you read the Old Testament prophecies, especially those of the prophet Isaiah, and then you read the accounts of the Gospels, and you see the wonder and the amazement that of the miraculous virgin birth with the angels filling the heavens and proclaiming the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds that were watching over their flocks. You realize that there must be much more to this story. This cannot be all there is. And you're right, that is not all there is. The birth, as wonderful as it was, certainly was not the end of the story. Now, if you keep reading your Bible, you know that you will eventually come to a cross. And you know that in the Gospels, you will eventually come to a shameful death. And you will eventually come to a sad and heart-breaking death and a burial in a borrowed tomb. And then you keep reading and you flip the page, and after this horrible death on the cross, and after this horrible scene of the cross, you turn the page, and all of a sudden the light is brightly shining again upon you. Why? Because that Savior has resurrected from the grave. You see, death could not keep him in the grave. I think it's amazing that as you read the Gospels, you see Mary coming towards the tomb, and with tears in her eyes and her head down, she looks inside the tomb, and Jesus is not there. And the angels were in the tomb, and the angel speaks, and I find it amazing. That angel speaks to Mary, and she is not the least bit shaken by that. I think that is just phenomenal. It didn't scare her one bit. And the angel said to her, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen." So there you find the death of Christ, this miraculous resurrection. And what I want to do this morning is I want to parallel some things that happened at the birth of Christ with some things that happened at the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and let you see the wonder that is the Messiah, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things I call to your attention. First of all, I want you to notice that there is a parallel between the two stories in that angels are at both. Angels are at both. I want you to notice, folks, whenever God does something significant in the scriptures, the angels are always present. Now, if you'll just stop and think about that, you'll see that that's true. For example, at the birth of Christ, here in this passage that I read for you, the angels were there. On the night that our Savior was born in Bethlehem's manger, the angels were there, and they are recorded in our story. Do you remember that once the Lord started his earthly ministry at the temptation, which was a major event in our Lord's life? But after the temptation was over, that 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says that the angels came and ministered unto him. And then at the crucifixion, I remind you that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he could have called a whole host of angels to come and set him free. And then at the resurrection, here, I mentioned a moment ago, when Mary went to the tomb, there were the angels sitting inside the tomb, and they said that he is not here, for he is risen. And then, of course, 40 days later, when the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, and the Bible says that as the disciples stood on the Mount of Olives and they watched as our Lord went into heaven a cloud received him out of their sight, that as they watched him go, two angels stood by them in white apparel. And these two angels said to the disciples, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go." So even at the ascension, the angels were present as our Lord went back to heaven to take a seat at the right hand of God the Father, where he intercedes for us. And then if you will keep reading your Bible, you will get over into the epistles, and the Apostle Paul is going to tell you that the Lord one day is going to return in the clouds. And the Bible says that when the Lord comes back at the rapture of the church, that the trumpet of God will sound, and the voice of the archangel is going to shout, So there's the angels again. The voice of the archangel is going to shout at the rapture, and the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So folks, I'm telling you that that every time God does something significant in the scriptures, the angels are always present. And so here we are now at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice that the angels were present at his birth. We read in verse 8 and in verse 9, the shepherds were in the field and the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And then down in verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Folks, I'm telling you that when the Messiah was born, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, those angels could not hold their peace. They had to step out into the seen world and they had to announce the fact that Jesus was born. Now you think about this. Strange is the fact that God's angels, God's ministering spirits, do not reveal themselves to us. Think about that. God's ministering spirits do not reveal themselves to us. I have been saved for a long time. I got saved when I was 16 years of age. 16 years of age. I have been preaching since I was 17 years old. I preached my first sermon at 17. It lasted 5 minutes. I have gotten so much better since then. I had 5 points to my sermon. I preached out of John 14, 1 to 6. And I had 5 points to my sermon. That is 1 point per minute. If you've done the math. Oh, I've gotten so much better. I have preached thousands of sermons in 40 years. But I want to serve notice on you, not one time have I ever seen or spoken to an angel. I would like to think that God's hand has guided and directed my steps through the years. But I cannot say that I have seen with my eyes an angel. And let me just pause right here. You haven't either. You say, no, you had too many anchovies on your pizza. Now, I think it's strange. You know, I believe, had I been running this show, that I would have made the angels available to us. I would have had them show up. But God sees it differently, and that we don't see them. Now, the book of Hebrews, listen to me now. The book of Hebrews tells us that some of us have entertained angels unawares. Now that means that an angel has visited you, but you did not know it. That's what the word unawares means. You say, oh no, I knew it. No, you didn't. Now you go look up the verse, and I don't care whose Bible in here you use, there is not a little set of parentheses. And it says, except for, and your name there. It says that we have entertained, some of us, angels unawares. And that means unawares. And I believe that according to some of the Psalms, that all of us have a guardian angel, an angel that God has provided for us, although they do not choose to reveal themselves to us. Now, my mother always said that my guardian angel was probably exhausted and probably quit at around the age 9 or 10. I don't know how true that is. I'm going to find out one of these days. But the point is, they keep their silence. But I want you to notice something, folks. Here, they cannot keep silent. They just cannot contain themselves. The angel of the Lord appears, and the shepherds were terrified. And let me just stop here, folks, and tell you that if the angels of the Lord appeared to you, you too would be terrified. Do you know why? Because it's not normal. And if you saw one, you would be freaked out. You would be beside yourself. And when he tells them the good news, he announces the birth of the Savior, he calms their fears. Why? Because they would have been scared to death. It was not normal. It's not normal for us. But here they just could not stand it. They had to come out. They had to be seen. They had to be exposed. Why? Because the greatest thing that had ever happened to date happened that night. The Savior was born. And they had to announce that. And when he tells them the good news, suddenly the whole skies are filled with angels, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And my friend, listen, the day is coming when that trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel shouts and we all go up to be with the Lord and we're all standing around the throne in heaven. All of us are going to be shouting and praising God just like these angels did. I tell you, some of you better get practiced up. Some of you hadn't even so much as let out a holy grunt, much less an amen. Oh, just say amen, would you? Amen. The day is coming. Glory to God in the highest. And I'm going to look over at somebody and say, see, I told you was going to shout. Oh, yeah. You're going to let her rip that day. These angels just could not keep silent. They had to tell some good news. They had to tell some good news. All right, now that's the birth. Now, go back in your Bible to Matthew for just a minute. Go back, hold your place here in Luke, okay? Hold your place. But go back to Matthew 28. Hold your place there in Luke. But go back to Matthew 28. I want you to see something really neat here. Matthew 28. All right. Let's begin in verse 1. Verse 1. Look at your Bible here. Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. What day is that? Sunday. All right. That's why we go to church on Sunday, folks. Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. That's why we go to church on Sunday. Why do we go to church on Wednesday? Because that's when Christ was crucified. You say, I thought he was crucified on Friday. No, Wednesday. How do you get 3 days and three nights out of a Friday crucifixion? Come on. Come on, you can't. All right, now watch. First day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now watch this carefully. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the what?
Angel.
All right, the angel of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Flip back to Luke. Flip back to Luke. Verse 9. And lo, the what? Oh. Oh. You say, Pastor, that's a saint. Yes. Yes. The same person. The same angel. By the way, look at me. Did y'all know that when the Bible says the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus?
Amen.
Did you know that?
Yes.
You knew that because I taught you that, right?
Yes.
The angel of the Lord. Isn't that something? The angel of the Lord announced his own birth in Luke 2, and then the angel of the Lord announced his own resurrection in Matthew 28. The angel of the Lord, same one, descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. He rolled it back and sat upon it. Have y'all seen that Verizon commercial with that goofy millennial guy? They drive me nuts. Those commercials drive me nuts. Where he's got this little boy that's the cutest little boy, just the cutest little boy, and he's wrapping a present for his mother, and he's got tape everywhere. Well, that same goofball, I don't know how, what else. When they started these, he was walking up to a crowd of people, and he was announcing, making announcements about Verizon. And he walks up, he's got a microphone, and he's telling them Verizon's this, and then he drops the microphone. Remember that? And then he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out, and he has another announcement, and then he drops that microphone. And then he turns, and he pulls out another one, and he tops and drops the microphone as if to say, ta-da. You with me on that? All right, now that's what the angel of the Lord is doing here. Rolls the stone back and then sets on it like to go, top that. All right, that's the idea. He sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning. Anybody ever read Revelation 1? You ever read Revelation 1 when John was on the Isle of Patmos and he turned around because he heard a voice behind him, and when he did, his countenance was like lightning? Who was that? All right, that was Jesus. And his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now, remember in Luke 2, Luke tells us the angel of the Lord appeared unto the shepherds. But notice, perhaps, and I think it was, the same angel says in verse 5 and 6, don't be afraid, he is not here, for he is risen. At the birth, we have the angels singing, but at the resurrection, they're silent. They will speak, but there is no praise. There is no shouting. There is no rejoicing. There is no singing. You say, well, Pastor, what's the difference? You see, now, listen to me now, now that the tomb is empty, you should be making your own song now. The angels are not going to find you either words or music. There's an empty tomb. That is your poetry. And that is your music. The point is, dear friend, if you can look into that empty tomb and be silent, you have not seen it. If you can look in there and it not move you. Every year that I've taken groups to Israel, we walk over to that empty tomb, and you walk inside there and turn around and look and see the place where Jesus lay. And I have stood out there to help folks out that gate or out that hole. And I have stood there and watched them come out as the tears streaming down their faces as they realize, wait a minute, that our Savior, he did not rot in this grave. No, sir. Death could not keep him. He came out of that tomb victorious over death. Hold your place here. Hold your place. Go over to 1 Peter real quickly. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me show you what Peter says about this. Peter is talking about persecution. Look at verse 3. He said, blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:3, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. My hope's a living hope. You say, what are you basing that on? The fact that he's alive. Because he lives, we live. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Wow. Man, I can't wait to get there. Can you? Who are kept by the power of God. Right now, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, watch this now, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Watch carefully now. Whom having not seen, ye love. I haven't seen him, except for through eyes of faith. I haven't seen him with my literal eyes. One of these days, I will see him with eyes of sight. But I haven't seen him with eyes of sight yet. I've seen him through eyes of faith. But I'm going to one of these days. Man, when that trumpet sounds and I look up, there he's going to be. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that amazing, folks? You see, there's your song. Once you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and once you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, it is God that puts the joy in your heart. It is God that puts the song in your mouth. It is God that puts the praise on your lips. Amen. The angels didn't need to proclaim it. They didn't need to proclaim it. That's why they didn't in the resurrection. They didn't need to. You say, well, who's going to do it? Look at verse 7 of Matthew 28. Go back to Matthew 28 and look at verse 7. The angel said, go quickly. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Wow. Isn't that awesome, folks? The angels didn't need to proclaim it. You get it settled and you will go and tell the world yourself. You get it settled and you'll go tell others. You won't be able to help yourself. You'll just tell others. The angels didn't need to proclaim it. They didn't need to. They had the disciples who saw that the tomb was empty, or they had the Marys that saw the tomb was empty, and they sent them to tell the story. Then notice, secondly, the parallel between the people. I said, first of all, there was a parallel between the angels. But now, secondly, I want you to notice a parallel between the people. Now, let's think about the birth for just a minute. At the birth, think of this, the people came to him. Right? I mean, do you not remember in Luke 2:15, those shepherds said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come. They came to him. The shepherds went to him. If you'll remember in Matthew 2, the wise men from the east, they came to King Herod and they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? The wise men came to find him. The people came to him. But wait a minute. They could not have come to him had he not first come to them. Right? And boy, that is what John said in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. When first you look at it, it appears the people came to him, but in reality, they came only after he first came to them. And don't forget, folks, he said in Luke 19:10 that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But at the resurrection, I find it interesting that there was a different strategy. At the resurrection, he went after those that were lost. He told the disciples in Matthew 28, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave them the Great Commission. He looked them square in the face before he ascended back to his Father in heaven and said, go and teach all nations. Go tell everybody. He went to the Emmaus Road disciples and they didn't recognize him. So he revealed himself unto them and preached to them the gospel. With the stone rolled away and in the shadow of the empty tomb, Jesus comes with the answer to where men are. And my friend, there we find our text. The empty tomb. It's an empty tomb. He is not here. He has won the victory. And because he has, we have a story to tell. Amen. We have something to say. We have a message to proclaim. The birth, wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful, the birth. It was miraculous. But realize that that wasn't the end of the story. It was complemented and it was completed by that resurrection. Peace is now available to all men because we have a resurrected, risen Savior. He is still seeking and saving that which is lost because we have a resurrected Savior. Then number three, I want you to notice the parallel between the events. Now think of this, the birth and the resurrection. Now let's think about the birth for a minute. The birth, that was a mystery, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah, hey, look at me, folks. Virgins don't have babies. All right? Now, that's just all there is to it. Sky's blue and grass is green. The Pope's a Catholic and some things just are what they are. And virgins don't have babies. Period. Okay? So the birth is a mystery. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. The resurrection is a solution. If the birth is a mystery, then the resurrection is a solution. You see, the birth is the first note. And the resurrection is the thunderous ending that ends way up here. Man, what a note that is. Can you imagine the thunderous volume that that last note must hold? The resurrection was the completion of the birth. You say, Pastor, how so? Watch. The resurrection was the completion of the birth. How so? Because, folks, men had nothing to do with either one. Amen. That's why the resurrection completed the birth. Men had nothing to do with either one. It was the Holy Spirit who planted the seed in Mary's womb. And Jesus was born of a virgin so as not to inherit the sin nature of man. But look at the resurrection. Man had nothing to do with that either. They rolled over a stone in front of the tomb to block the tomb and to keep him in. They had heard him say he was going to resurrect. And they said, not on our watch, you're not. And they rolled the stone in front of it. And they sealed the stone with Pilate's seal. And they put the guards there. But my friend, listen, you would just as soon hold back Niagara Falls with a teaspoon as stop the plan of God. Amen. And on that third day, he came from heaven. And he rolled the stone away, sat on it. And said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen from the grave. Amen and amen. You intend to keep watch to keep him in the tomb? Well, you can forget that. That's not going to work. And sure enough, it didn't. And the resurrection showed the world that sin's sacrifice was approved. Death, the songwriter said, could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty power o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. That's the compliment right there. That's the compliment. The resurrection showed the world that God approved of the sacrifice. It was such a miraculous birth. We know that it couldn't end there, don't we? Oh, there had to be much more. And sure enough, there was. And so when you get to the end of the Gospels and you see that empty tomb and you see that resurrected Savior, you say, whew, boy, now I see why he came like he did. I see why he lived like he did. Oh, now I see why he died like he did. Oh, I see now why he resurrected like he did. Oh, I see now why he ascended like he did. And now I see why he's coming back like he's going to come back. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. So you see, there is nothing detached in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every event was like a rung in the ladder that leads to a desired goal. And that goal was that he might provide us with a salvation full and free. And a continuing city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that wonderful gift of your wonderful salvation.